This is Saturday with Clare Byrne. You're very welcome to the programme, and we'd like to hear from you as well on any of the topics we're about to cover over the next hour. Our text number is 51551, the email address saturday@rte.ie, and on Twitter we're at SaturdayRTE. Joining us for this first part of the programme, we've Labour TD Éan Oireachtas, Sinn Féin TD Pádraig Tobin, and Irish Times political correspondent Fia Kelly. And we're going to start with the latest developments in stories that have been on the move all week. And firstly, we turn to rehab, because they issued a statement last night saying that the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee has been grossly unfair and has caused rehab serious harm. The statement comes after John McGuinness and PAC received a letter from developer John Kelly, which made serious allegations, they said, against rehab and individuals connected with rehab. And PAC has referred that letter to the Gardaí. Now, I'll give you a flavour of the statement issued by rehab last night. It says that the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee would comment publicly in this way on the allegations said to have been made without having first given those persons who are said to be the subject of the allegations an opportunity to see the allegations and to respond to them is grossly unfair. It has caused serious harm to the rehab group, to individuals within the rehab group and to its employees. Now, Fiacc, we spoke to you on this programme about this story because you had it moving along last week. What do you make of rehab coming out in this way and firing a shot at John McGuinness and PAC?
I was actually kind of surprised by it when I got it myself last night, because they had issued a statement the previous evening saying that they were going to clear this up as quickly as possible and that they were going to get this off the agenda. And this subsequent statement came last night taking issue with what John McGuinness had said. I was surprised by it to a certain extent because it just kind of gave a bit more oxygen to it. We're talking about it again, and the allegations that were made are quite serious, and the PAC unanimously decided to refer it to the Guards. And John McGuinness, I think that's basically all he said. I think he said, like, this is a serious matter. It's not outside of our remit. We're sending it to the Guards. So I was surprised by what rehab said last night.
And the letter from John Kelly, which contains these allegations, it hasn't been published by anybody, although I know that media organisations do have the letter, and of course PAC has it, but we haven't heard what's in that letter. So what PAC essentially is saying is that John McGuinness was wrong to mention the letter publicly?
That seems to be it, but I failed to see what they were supposed to do. What actually happened is they had a private meeting on Thursday. Members were shown the letter and they handed it back, and it stayed with the clerk of the committee, who then sent it to the Garda Commissioner. So it's not doing wide circulation anywhere. Mm-hmm. People are aware of the content of it. But I failed to see what the PAC were supposed to do. They were sent this letter. They kind of immediately went, this is way outside of our remit. And the thing to do was to hand to the Garda Commissioner, because he is the point of contact between the PAC and the Guards. He is the accounting officer for the force.
From reading that statement, it would seem that rehab would prefer if the Public Accounts Committee had given those persons who are said to be the subject of the allegations an opportunity to see them and to respond. So are they saying that we should have been told what was in there, and that the people who were involved should have been invited before PAC to give statements about it before the Gardaí were involved? Surely that would do more damage, you would imagine.
Yeah, it would, and that would be PAC going well outside its remit. With the allegations made are very serious, I think. John McGuinness himself said they could involve potential wrongdoing. So that would be straying way outside PAC's remit. It's already been accused for straying outside its territory in certain issues, but this would be just off the scale completely. And I think for them to invite rehab in to make statements would just give ventilation to what that is and would make the matter somewhat worse, okay. I would imagine.
We did try to get hold of John McGuinness today. We didn't manage to get him yet anyway. Éan, should he have sent the letter to rehab, do you think? Just discussed it with them privately first before telling everybody that he had it and he was sending it on to the Guards?
No, I don't think so. I think PAC are doing their best in a difficult situation. I think rehab are not necessarily engaging with the committee as they should have been. I think Angela Curran, certainly it took a long time for us to get answers out of her at the committee. PAC are trying to work in a non-political, non-partisan basis, and I think that, as Fiacc has already said, they've been accused of stepping outside their remit a number of times. I don't think
and
this
politicising
sort of, and politicising the issue. I don't think this sort of loudspeaker diplomacy is beneficial, particularly when the Oireachtas won't be in sessions in the next week. So this is going to hang in the air now for a week and a half. There's a number of people who PAC are still waiting to come in front of their committee, including Frank Flannery. So I think I don't think this is helpful in any way.
Mm-hmm. Pádraig, what's your view on this?
I think rehab are not doing themselves any favours at all in this whole process. Any piece of information that has come out has been dragged out nearly like a rotten tooth to a certain extent. You know, if I was in rehab's position, I would be providing all the information in a timely effort to PAC, who are doing a wonderful job on this, to make sure that this story finishes and it's closed, but now we have it dragging on. Some of the issues are dragging on since 2009, I understand, with regards wages, etc.
But if you just throw your mind back to Angela Kearns when she appeared before PAC, I mean, she said that they feel very aggrieved over how rehab has been treated. She said, "We're wondering what we've done wrong."
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, obviously, the wage levels in rehab are not the same as in other charities. It's very clear that they get 30% of their funds from the state and 10% of their funds from the general public. It was interesting when there was an issue with regards to wages at lower levels within rehab. Rehab very clearly stated that those wages should be assigned to the public sector. But when the top level management's wages are being discussed, they claim that their wages should be aligned to the private sector. So they're trying to have it both ways to a certain extent. If the citizen is investing money in an organisation, they should clearly have transparency in how that money is being spent. And that's all people are asking for. So what I would do is I provide the information as quick as possible and have it done. If these allegations that have been recently made are at a Garda level, they need to be dealt with by the Gardaí. It would make no sense whatsoever for PAC to go through those allegations in the normal operation of PAC. They should be dealt with by the Gardaí.
What do you think, though, of that accusation, which is occasionally made, and perhaps more so recently, that the Public Accounts Committee is judge, jury and executioner now?
I think the state and citizens want an Oireachtas that's able to hold organisations to account. And where public money is being spent, where taxpayers' money is being spent, it's extremely important that the elected reps hold those people to account. Now, there's also a massive responsibility on the elected reps as well to carry out their responsibilities in a judicious fashion. And I know there's no doubt that there's instincts amongst politicians to try and go that one step further, to try and get, you know, the limelight and the headlines. And that's always going to be an instinct. It's up to the chair then in that scenario to ensure that PAC is run properly. And I think most people would be confident that they want to see PAC find out why rehab is not adhering to transparency in how it's run.
Pierce, do you want to come back in?
I just think that the whether Frank Flannery comes before the PAC is going to be interesting. His statement during the week said he hadn't been invited. He would like to see what areas they like to cover. I think that the PAC is getting to a stage now where someone is going to tell them, no, I'm not coming before you. You're going way outside your remit. You have no power to call me in. Mm-hmm. And I think that it might be Frank Flannery, might be somebody else. Like, technically speaking, Paul Kiley, the CRC executive, could have told them he wasn't coming in. They're straying way outside their remit. They were told this by the Parliamentary Legal Advice before Christmas. I do think we're getting to a stage where someone is going to test the PAC and say, no, I'm not coming in before. You've no right to bring me in.
And test that compellability,
which is still very fuzzy. We're not sure. Like, they tried to compel Matt Merrigan in. That process, I think, has only gone to the CPP. It's over a year ago. It would take years to bring them in. And then there's a question of whether they can actually compel Frank Flannery, who resigns as rehab director this week. So really, he has no responsibility now for dispersing public monies.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't it be in Frank Flannery's interest, if everything is clear, for him to come before PAC and have a story told in an honest and open fashion? It's the lack of interest of certain people in providing the information to this public forum which is causing the difficulty within people's minds.
Mm-hmm. And drawing it out as well. Let's move on to this letter in the Irish Times today, and it also forms part of a news story in the Irish Times, signed by Labour TDs and senators, and calls for the setting up of a Garda authority in the wake of the controversy that has dogged the Gardaí in recent months. In the article in the paper, Harry McGee claims that the Labour leadership would support calls for the establishment of such a body, and it would be one that the Garda Commissioner would be answerable to. Not all Labour TDs and senators signed the letter. I think five TDs, two senators. Eoin, do you support the calls? You weren't a signatory, I don't think.
I would. Well, those who signed the letter are members of the Justice Committee and members of the Public Accounts Committee. So they're the ones who've been dealing with the recent controversies. That's the reason behind those signatories. But of course, this is Labour policy. We've had this policy for quite a long time. And I think what politics should be about is having long-term, sustainable policies that can embed themselves into the system so that we don't go from crisis to crisis and controversy to controversy.
The Garda Inspectorate report prompted this to finally be made in, you know, black and white this weekend.
Yeah, well, I think the issue with GSOC is that GSOC reacts to controversies as they arise. It's not something that oversees the Garda necessarily on a prolonged basis. What we need, in my view, and in the Labour Party's view, and we've always had this opinion, is a Garda authority to which the Garda Commissioner would be answerable to. And currently, the Garda Commissioner is answerable to the Minister. Now, I think we need some kind of a buffer zone between GSOC and the minister to have for the public's confidence and also for the Gardaí's confidence, so that we can get not be bouncing from controversy to controversy, be it penalty points or whatever, that we have a system mirrored in a way what they have in Northern Ireland, but works quite well. Now, I know Northern Ireland is a particular circumstance and there's a lot of tensions and identity issues up there and a lot of legacy they have to get past, but we have legacy issues here too. And rather than bounce, as I say, from issues that happened in Donegal to issues with penalty points or whatever, this Garda Authority will be put in train and would oversee a vision for an Garda Síochána economy, which would last more than just what we're having at the moment, 5, 10, 15 years hence, and the Garda Commission will be answerable to it. And it would take a buffer zone between what the Guards are doing and the political system.
So you think the Garda Commissioner needs to be answerable to somebody other than the Minister?
Why? I believe so, yeah, I believe so. And
why?
I think it depoliticises the situation. I think it's something that the Irish public would have confidence in if there was just a little bit of space between the minister and between the Garda Commissioner. I think the political system would need that breathing space, and I think the Guards would need that breathing space. And I think if you have that authority that is not reacting but is proactive in how it goes about its duties, well, then I think it would be better for policing in Ireland long term. I think the Guards have had a difficult time of it. I've, you know, a member of my own family is a member of the Guards, and it's a very, very difficult job, and it's a stressful job, and it's a job that doesn't necessarily often get the praise it deserves. And when a controversy comes up with the Guards, sometimes some elements of the media or politicians want to believe the worst of every member of the Garda Síochána. They do a very fine job in extremely difficult circumstances, and also they've had, you know, a difficult time of it, as public servants have over the last 5 years or so, and they don't necessarily have recourse to media to give their own point of view, and certainly in this circumstance they were depending on other people to speak on their behalf.
And what's your view now of the treatment of Maurice McCabe and John Wilson, the whistleblowers, given what the Garda Inspectorate report said?
Well, I think it's more, okay, I mean, I think certainly they've been proven to have been right. They've been proven that what they said was correct and had validity. I think, though, are we constantly, the issue I have with Irish politics and I suppose and commenting on issues in Ireland is that we do tend to go from issue to issue, from controversy to controversy, and we never really focus in on nailing down, policies or procedures that will actually last beyond any couple of week controversy.
Yeah, but there's also,
right?
Aside from all that, and
so
I agree with
have,
you, no, I agree with you to
have,
do that. No,
so,
but Aon, so let's talk about the treatment of two individuals, right?
Yes.
The Garda Commissioner said quite clearly, and I don't care what he has said since, he said what they did was disgusting, right? And he was given plenty of opportunity by Mary Lou McDonald to clarify what he said.
Yeah.
He said that what they did was disgusting. Maurice McCabe, a serving Garda, is not allowed to use the pulse system because of what he did. Now, you've said today very clearly that those men were right.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, I think this has been a particularly poorly handled situation on all sides. And I think those who have an opportunity to rectify whatever they feel needs to be rectified should take that course of action.
By apologising.
Well, I think potentially. But the more important point to me, Claire, is this, is that, you know, politics will move on and media will move on from this and talk about something else in a couple of weeks' time. What's more important? You have things in place like whistleblower legislation. You have things in place like the Garda Authority, which we're now talking about, to ensure that if anything like this ever happens again, that there's bodies in place to deal with them. It's not good enough for us to say, right, an apology is now needed and that's the end of the situation. No, that's not good enough. Because if you're serious about your politics and serious about your country and serious about protecting people who want to live in this republic, you have to have, you know, bodies in place that will ensure that these things don't happen again. And that's long-term sustainable
stuff. What we saw this week was that policy is being changed and the recommendations were being accepted in that Garda Inspectorate report. But what was being neglected was the treatment and the rectifying of what had happened to those two men. Nothing was being done about that.
Yeah, but I would say this much. I think certainly what they have been proven to have been correct, but I also would make this point that it is absolutely wrong to suggest that even a large minority of Guards are crooks or are bending the rules all the time.
No, hold on.
I mean, I've been very clear on what I'm saying here, but I think it's very important to say that, yes, there's validity in what these two men were saying and it has to be pointed out. At the same time, though, casting a web of suspicion of the entire force is not an appropriate thing to do. And I think anybody
needs... But
are
you saying they did that? Who did that?
What I'm saying... No, I think, in fairness to Garda Síochána, there's Guards who feel at the moment as if they are being tarnished by, you know, the actions of a few. And I think it's a very... The point to make in this is... a relatively minor one, if you like, in terms of the overall conversation. But I think it's a point that needs to be made. Mm-hmm. Is that I don't think any guard needs to have a cloud of suspicion over them, given the fact that they're difficult job to do. That's the point I'm making. It's
right.
a small
what,
one, but I think it's important.
Patter, you wanted to
what these whistleblowers have done is revolutionary, and they've done the state a massive service in this regards. And, you know, it's stated in the Garda Inspectorate report that, you know, this the level of investigation wouldn't have happened unless these individuals brought this information to the Oireachtas members. And, you know, Aon rightly says, you know, that they should be commended and they were right to do it. But you can't square the circle. If they're right to do what they've done, surely the commissioner and the minister were completely wrong in attacking them and delaying them and making the whole process more difficult. And an apology is really important, because what an apology will, what message it will send out in future is, if you're a whistleblower in the Gardaí and you have a right to bring wrongdoing, a legal right to bring wrongdoing to the knowledge of the state, that you won't be treated in such a manner. And one of these whistleblowers has still not got access to the Pulse system, mm-hmm. which is basically saying that he's still under suspicion by the minister to a certain extent. And an apology is needed, and a forthright
Well, the Garda commissioner made that decision to not to allow him to use the Pulse system.
I understand that. And, you know, I think the Garda commissioner has an awful lot to answer here. And my confidence in the Garda commissioner would be very low. And I think it's really important that the minister grabs this situation, the bull by the horns, and resolves it with a fulsome apology. Even this week, he was stating on the 6-1 News that these individuals brought the information to the public knowledge, which they didn't. They actually brought it to Oireachtas members, in which they're legally entitled to do. These individuals jumped, went to every single step and about 10 different hurdles to try and get this information. And the minister, whose task it is to uphold their legal rights and to actually nurture further whistleblowers in the future, did everything to prevent it happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, he won't be doing anything about it this weekend because he's in Mexico for St. Patrick's weekend. On that, Fiacc, sorry, you wanted to come in.
I was just saying there's a level of degrees of acceptance that what the whistleblower said was correct. Like Aon says they're right. The Taoiseach said that, echoed the sentiment of the report. He said that had it not been for the whistleblowers coming forward, that the system would not have been fixed, or the problems would not have been highlighted.
Yeah.
Yes, I do think there are mixed messages from the government on this. It was only before Christmas Brendan Howland was kind of trumpeting his whistleblowers legislation, said the word informer has always been a dirty word in Ireland. Mm. The treatment of Maurice McCabe and John Wilson would suggest that is still the case, somewhat like the language you used by the commissioner disgusting was. It was a very serious thing for someone to say about a person in his own organisation who was concerned for the operation of his own organisation, the operation of justice within the community. I think they were vindicated in what they did by this week, and I think that the government, I think, just needs time to come round to that. Mm-hmm. Like, whistleblowers are often awkward, they often play a lonely furrow for a long time, and then people kind of say, yeah, you're right. And I think eventually that they probably will, it will be acknowledged fully that what John Wilson did, or sorry, what John Wilson and Maurice McCabe did was correct.
Can I ask you, Pather, about the Garda Authority finally on this issue, the Labour idea that we should have a Garda Authority there that the Commissioner is answerable to. Do you support that idea?
Absolutely. The Commissioner has to be answerable to somebody outside of the Minister for Justice. And the policing boards in the North, they have the ability to employ and to let go a Commissioner of the PSNI. And that's necessary for any organisation. Unless you answer to somebody, the chances are then you're not going to fulfil your responsibilities 100%. And I think there should be a strong policing board in the South, and I think it should be independent, but also that it should have some reporting mechanism within the Oireachtas, and that it shouldn't lie just with the minister. Because throughout all of this process, it's been very clear that the commissioner and the minister really have been one. They've been very close on all of these issues. And there seems to be, even with GSOC, that the minister was very, very quick to question and undermine GSOC, but never so with regards the commissioner and his activities.
Mm-hmm. And we're still waiting. We've got two reports still to come, don't we, on these issues, one on the bugging and one on the more on the penalty points. Do you think, by the way, Fiacc, before we leave this, that this will cause political problems? I mean, how will Fine Gael feel about a Garda Authority suggestion?
I don't know. It's interesting that like a letter appears in the paper from a number of TDs. Like you would imagine that comes, that it's either sanctioned by leadership, as Harry suggested this morning, or they're well aware of it and it is policy. I would imagine that some people in Fine Gael might be sympathetic towards it. There was a feeling amongst people on the back benches that the relationship between the commissioner and the minister was maybe perceived as being a little bit close. So some people might think it's a good idea to create an extra buffer layer. However, whether the minister himself and the Department of Justice feels about it is an entirely different matter. I don't think they will think it's a great idea.
We do have a reshuffle coming, though.
We do. And as the events have shown this week, that the Taoiseach can... Get rid of people who were once close to Taoiseach can soon find their departure.
Can I just
speed it up?
Say that the three pillars really of this open government that was heralded when the government came to power was: one, protection of whistleblowers; two, the regulation of lobbying; and I think three was the issue of freedom of information. And in those three areas, really, within 3 years, the government has failed.
Wrong.
With regards to freedom of information, they decided that they wanted to increase the cost of that. And also wanted to make sure like the likes of Irish Water weren't included in it. They were forced through public opinion to make sure that Irish Water were included. And, you know, on whistleblowing, nobody can say that the government have actually strengthened.
Well, now the legislation is coming. The OECD has said that the behaviour of the government with regards to whistleblowing has actually frightened whistleblowers.
This is the difference between point scoring and actual real politics. We said we were bringing whistleblower legislation before this controversy because it's something we felt strongly about for a long time, and we're doing it. We said we'd bring in lobbying legislation because we're appalled about the type of stuff that went on in previous governments, and we're doing it. And we said we'd strengthen
the last two controversies in this government has been whistleblowing and lobbying, and the government has mishandled them.
That's the whole point. We didn't wait for controversies in order to bring forward this legislation. This is what we do because we know what Ireland is like. We know what needs to be reformed in Ireland, and then we bring forward legislation regardless of waiting for a controversy. Now, I know people like yourself, Pádraig, and Sinn Féin,
everybody listening
loves to react to an individual controversy and to move on to another one next week. What we do in our party, because we're serious about this country, is that you bring forward legislation regardless of current headlines and trying to get sound bites, and you bring forward legislation because it's what you promised to do. We promised whistleblowing legislation, we promised lobbying legislation, and we promised to strengthen the freedom of information, and we've done all three.
If Labour Party meant business with regards to whistleblowing, and in the manner that the Minister for Justice has delivered what I would say is an anti-whistleblowing agenda over the last while, his position in government is dependent on your vote and your colleague in Labour's vote. Your support for the Minister for Justice determines whether he stays in his position or not. And it would actually send a very strong message into the future that whistleblowers are actually valued in this country if the Labour Party were to say we no longer have confidence in Minister Shatter.
That's a fair point. Well, that's one that you should answer, Eoin. You know, Kira is a texter saying the absolute nerve of Labour. They backed Shatter and his sidekick to the hilt. They didn't stand up for the whistleblowers. Labour needs Shatter. I mean, you've said today that the whistleblowers deserve an apology.
We're dealing here with the minister as somebody who is probably the most hardworking minister that I've come across. He's somebody who has been on the same page with Labour on a number of different issues which we feel strongly about, including the X case, including a whole lot of equality legislation.
Is it a quid pro quo, Paddy?
You've made a charge, and so what I'm going to do is
respond.
Is
it a quid pro quo?
No, we'll let him respond.
Sorry.
Paddy, yeah.
Pádraig, I'm not going to take lectures from somebody in your party who has an interesting background in dealing with informers yourselves. What I'm talking about in terms of Alan Shatter is somebody, when it comes to Legal Services Bill, who delivered on it. Somebody in terms of insolvency legislation, delivered on it. When I'm talking to him, things about equality in terms of travellers, in terms of immigrants, in terms of women, this man is serious about it. Now, is this a controversy where he's covered himself in glory? No. Is it a controversy that many people have covered themselves in glory? No. Does he have to do, and does the Garda Commissioner have to do what they have to do to get beyond it? Yes. But what's more important, how do we react? How does society react to make sure this sort of thing never happens again? Are we serious about bringing forward whistleblower legislation? You already mentioned yourself, Claire, about the two reports that are already being commissioned in order to get to the bottom of this situation. We're not reacting to a controversy. We are serious about delivering legislative frameworks that will go forward into the future to ensure that people feel confident about saying what they feel they have to say in whatever organisation in which they are a part of.
Would it help if Alan Shatter apologised to those two men?
To be honest, I think in order for us to get beyond this particular situation and to start focusing on how we can deal with every situation in the future, I think the minister should do what he has to do, and I think the Garda Commission should do what they have to do.
Which is apologise to the two men.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. I was just saying
regarding Alan Shatter's position, I think the phrase for me on the same page as Labour, a lot of issues, that kind of means Alan Shatter is going nowhere. Labour wants him at Cabinet. He's the most liberal Fine Gael minister there is. He's on their side when it comes to things like gay marriage. So I think Alan Shatter is safe as houses, I think, in the Cabinet.
Well, hold on. It's not just about gay marriage. It's also about, if you go down to Mountjoy, I spent a long time trying to ensure that, you know, that prisoners in Mountjoy aren't slopping out, which is a kind of issue that people like don't pay enough attention to. This is a guy who takes that so seriously, it's going to end. He's also the guy who's closing St. Pat's, within the confines of Mountjoy. This is the type of stuff that happens, which deserves an awful lot more attention than it gets, in my opinion.
Have to leave this here,
but this is a very extremely important point. This is the issue of penalty points. This is the issue of saving road users' lives. This is the issue of up to €7 million... not coming into the state that should have come into the state. It's not a peripheral issue. It's a central issue to government, and it should be a central issue to the desires of the Labour Party.
We're going to leave that one there, and we're going to go next to the United States and see what Enda Kenny's up to today.